Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
So we're in our mess series, The Secret Sauce. We're talking about the convictions that drive us at Revival Life Church. And if you remember last week, I talked about the role of Holy Spirit in our church. And this week I was moving on to step two, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm not really ready to move on. And it's funny when you talk about following Holy Spirit and allowing Him to guide you, He really thinks you mean it. And then He starts telling you to do stuff that you may not have planned to do on your own. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's got to be more than just a doctrine. Got to be more than just a doctrine. Has to be a life, right? It has to be a lifestyle. You know, we sing these songs about use me any way you want, lead my life, it's all yours. And he believes that. And he's just like, oh, wait a minute, I'm the boss? Oh, that's so awesome because I have plans. And you're like, oh, no, you're the boss, but I have plans. And he's like, no, I really do have plans and I'm ready for them to happen now. Oh. So I was ready to move on. He wasn't. So if you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 16. We're going to get in the Word of God, and we're going to have a good time today. Amen? So here we are. It's almost the end of summer. Next Sunday, while you're turning there, I'll talk here for a second. Next Sunday is the last weekend before kids go back to school. And all the parents said, woohoo! All the kids, not so much. If you look, the floors are nice and pretty here now in preparation for the students. Hallelujah. But next Sunday we're gonna in the main service we're gonna bless all the teachers, all those who are involved in education in both Revival Kids rooms. They're gonna pray for all the kids going back to school and just kind of bless them in their school year. Amen. Amen. So we'll look forward to that. So John chapter 16, you guys there? Yeah, we're all here, right? Yeah, we're all here. Yeah, feeling good. Summer's almost over. How you feel about that? If you don't have kids, it's just another month, right? Whatever. John chapter 16. We're starting verse 7. Let's read the Word of God together, shall we? This is Jesus talking to the disciples, right? Now, if you're new to Christianity, you're new to the church, new to kind of being an active participant in your faith, number one thing I want to let you know is it's important to go to church every week. Number two, it's important to read your Bible, right? And as we read the Bible, I don't want to say some parts are more important than others, but some parts are more important than others, right? If you're not sure where to start in the New Testament. These are the words for today. History is important. Right now is more important, right? The covenant we're in with God is more important. And the chief cornerstone, the main part of that thing that we're in right now, what's happening right now, is the man Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus is the Son of God, and he really believes it that he is God, as because he is. And when he says things, they are life, their spirit, and their truth. If you read your Bible and you begin to ask God, talk to me as I read this Bible, he will talk to you while you read it. It is crazy if you've never experienced it before, but he absolutely will do it. You will be reading your New Testament, and the very thing you've been going through this week will jump off the pages at you because the living God is in charge of everything, and he'll orchestrate all things together for good. So as we read the New Testament, and we look here in the Gospel of John, and if you want to start reading the Bible, I really recommend you start with the book of John. Start reading John, and all these red words, of course, are the words of Jesus. They put them in red, I guess because people couldn't discern that was him talking. I don't know. I can figure it out. But here it is in red. This is Jesus talking, so we know it's pretty important. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so here Jesus is talking to his disciples in John chapter 16, starting in verse 7. It says, but I tell you the truth, as if he could lie. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 9, concerning sin because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. Verse 12, Jesus is continuing to talk. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Father, we thank you so much for being here with us. We thank you that by your Spirit, you're going to guide us into all truth. I thank you that you're speaking to us right now, and I pray that you will continue to lead us in Jesus' name. So here we're talking about what makes Revival Life Church, what's the secret sauce behind who we are, what we do, where we're going. Now, this isn't a message series about us. It's not about people. It's not about an organization. It's not even about a vision. It's about what God wants to do in South Florida through this group of believers. It's what he has instructed us to do and how we have responded. And one of the important things that we have found in our relationship with God is that we have to value Holy Spirit. We have to value God on earth. If you read the scripture, and as you continue to read the scriptures, as you continue to read how Jesus talks about Holy Spirit, he doesn't talk about Holy Spirit the way many people talk about Holy Spirit. He doesn't call Holy Spirit an it, just like I don't call my wife an it. I don't say the wife is coming to dinner. My wife, Tracy, is coming to dinner. He doesn't say when the Holy Spirit comes. He says when Holy Spirit comes. Holy Spirit is not a title. Holy Spirit is a name. He is a spirit, and he is holy. And he is a third person of the Godhead. That's not a ranking. It's not a matter of importance. It's just the third person of the Godhead. There is only one God. So it's impossible to make one part of God less important than another part of God. Amen? If someone were to say to me, Carl, I'm going to give you skin cancer, where would you like it? What part of you is not important that you'd like to get some skin cancer on? I'd say, no, I'll just pass altogether because there's only one me. There's only one of me, right? There's only one God, and it's important that we recognize that. There's a lot of debate about, well, we can't glorify Holy Spirit because they say he'll Jesus. There's only one God. It's very important to recognize there's one God, and we need to receive him as such. And the second thing I want you to see about this passage of Scripture in John in particular is how much Jesus trusted Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus walked the earth with his disciples for a little over 3 years, and we see that he was God on earth, which is amazing to think about, that God could come onto earth, onto his creation, how the Creator could walk on the creation, clothed in his creation, and minister to his creation by the power of Holy Spirit. And as awesome as that was during that time, hear me, we live in a better time today than they lived in then. We live in a better time today than they lived in then. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that we are living in the promise that the great believers of years gone by never got to see. The day when the kingdom is on the inside of us. Because the Holy Spirit is in us. Something the great believers of yesteryear did not have. And so Jesus, as he left, what's amazing is that he turned over responsibility. He turned over the care. He entrusted us, that which he bought with his own blood, to Holy Spirit. He literally turned us over to Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't relinquish his authority, but he said, listen, I'm going to go. Holy Spirit's going to come and he'll take care of you. That's a big deal. Yeah. That's a big deal. I don't leave my children with many people. Historically, we have two, maybe three people that we trust with our children. Period. As a minister, knowing that the enemy wants to get at me, wants to get at my family, wants to get at the legacy, I have to be very careful who I allow to steward my legacy. It's important. I don't just let anybody take care of my kids. I don't let just anybody speak into my kids' life. I don't drop them off and say, that's the youth pastor's job. I don't do that. These are my kids. This is important for me. I take care of them. And I didn't have to die for them to come. Jesus died for us, and yet he entrusts us to Holy Spirit. It's a big deal. He didn't trust us to other people. He trusted us to Holy Spirit. And so as we apply this reality to our church, that forces us to focus on what we feel God is telling us is important and not focus on some things that other people feel is important, right? Let me say it another way. Some people have a ministry emphasis that we don't have and we probably never will because it doesn't really line up with our job is to welcome Holy Spirit in our presence, right? Our job is to serve God. Our job is to honor Him and to interact with the living God. And because of that, different churches might have a different emphasis. And I don't like to start with a negative, but I want to tell you a couple things that we don't focus on, right? Jesus puts His confidence in Holy Spirit, right? You can put your confidence in Him. Okay, you can put your confidence that Holy Spirit will keep and protect you, right? You can keep your confidence that Holy Spirit works things out. You can put your confidence in the fact that He'll work things together for good. You don't have to put your hands all over what God is doing because we really can trust Holy Spirit. That forces us to not focus on certain things that we trust Him with. And again, I don't like to focus on the negatives, but I'm just going to give you a couple that we don't focus on. One of the things, and this is not an exhaustive list, but just a couple things. One of the things we don't focus on are dress codes for women. I have no idea, after reading the entire New Testament and experiencing Jesus Christ, I really shouldn't say it, but why a church would focus on how women should dress as a point of a Sunday morning service. I don't get it. I'm going to be honest. I don't get it. Should you dress modestly? Yeah, we should. It's not that big a deal. Not that big a deal. So we don't focus on it, you know. If older women are teaching younger women and you don't know how to dress, someone will, you know, hey, you don't look good. I remember this church that we were in, there was like a church mother. And she would just tell people, you're too big to wear clothes that tight. She would just tell them, like, wow, that's, she's like, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look good. But the fellows were like, thank you, Jesus, that's... You know, there's a, every cult has dress codes for women. The men dress normal, the women got to show their piety by looking goofy, right? We just don't go there, right? Other things we don't focus on are a woman's or a man's place. Assigning gender roles. We don't assign gender roles. My family might look different than your family. That's why it's your family, not mine. Everybody, we see you, Ron. Are you with me? Are you with me? We don't focus on gender roles. Are there gender roles? Well, only my wife carries the children in our family. And I can tell you there's parts of my body that are useless when babies come, right? There's roles. Right? There are some roles, right? I lift the heavy things. Right? I lift the heavy things. Where's Ron going? There he is taking pictures. Hi, Ron. Hold on a second. How's this? All right. So gender roles are not something we focus on, right? Work things out, right? Nobody should manipulate anybody for any reason, regardless of gender. Amen? Are you with me? Another thing we don't focus on that some people feel are very, very important are end times. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what's happening in 2018. Let alone what's going to happen at the end of time. I'll tell you this. Whenever the end is, you'll find me serving God. That's it. That's it. If a demonized person is coming, my role will be the same. I'll be casting the devil out of them. Right? That is it. That's my role. And until Jesus returns, I'll just keep doing that. All right? So we don't focus on end times. I know some people, it's a litmus test. Another thing we don't focus on is churchianity. Got to learn how to do church to serve Jesus. Dress codes and like just, we don't do churchianity a lot. Another big one that's popular these days is politics. Sweet Jesus, okay. I'm just lined up with, you know, there are none righteous, no, not one. If you haven't figured that out yet. And I don't care if you're, you know, if you think Bernie Sanders is the Messiah or you think Donald Trump or Rush Limbaugh is the Messiah, I hope you can see the unrighteousness, right? I hope you can see how hollow the promises are. I hope you can see that the church is a block of voters that politicians try to manipulate for power. If you have not seen that yet, wake up, right? That is not what Jesus died for. It's not what he died for. I got to believe if Jesus returned today, he wouldn't be voting. He wouldn't be campaigning. All these political parties and all this is going to be consumed in the fire in the end of times. It's all going to be tested by fire, and I don't believe any of it's going to remain, right? So let's not give our witness away to something that will be gone in the end. Amen? And this is going to upset some people or not. We don't focus on Israel. I got nothing against Israel. I live here. I don't live in Israel. And whatever God's going to do in Israel, he's going to do in Israel. I'm not there, right? If I were there, I'd probably teach on it more, but I'm here. And so I'm more interested in what God's going to do in Boca. So we talk about how you are supposed to live in Boca, right? So as such, we don't talk about feasts and festivals and the temple and the trumpets. And we're not trying to recreate the old covenant. We're just here doing what we do. What do we focus on? We focus on connecting people to the presence and power of God. We connect people to the presence and power of God. Now, God may talk to you through politics. He may call you to politics. He may call you to Israel. He may call you not to tell women how to dress. He may call you to study the end times. I don't know. He may call you to any of these things. And all that is part of it. Doctrine is important. And some of these things are very important. But it's not the primary role of the church, at least not this church. And so I hope that God calls you to government service. I hope he calls you to change the world. I hope he calls you, you know, to do all these amazing things. But it's not what we do. We feel called to connect you to the presence and power of God and really release you to be the awesome you've been called to be, that you were created to be. Amen? So what does that mean for how we do church? And so since our primary role is to connect people to the presence and power of God, every Sunday for us is not a Bible study. Bible study is very, very, very important. But when I look at the book of Acts, I don't see Bible studies. I don't see Bible studies. I don't see it anywhere in the Word that they all got together and opened the scrolls and they did Bible studies. The only Bible study we see Jesus showing is he opened the scripture, he says, this is all pointing to me, and he closed it and went away. That was his Bible study. Hey, guess what? This points to me. Don't stare at a book. This points to me. And so wherever you hold the Bible, let me hold your Bible here right with somebody's. Don't judge me because I don't have one. I can't see this. I got to print it on a screen here. If I hold my computer up, it wouldn't have the same effect. So let's say, however you esteem the Word of God right now, let's say that you highly esteem the Word of God. And I hope you do. Let's say you highly esteem the Word of God at this place in your life, right? Let's say this is where you esteem it right now. Don't esteem it any lower, but esteem Christ higher. Esteem God higher. You better esteem the Word of God. You better hold it in reverence. You better love it and know that it's truth and God speaks to you, but hold Christ higher. Right? We're going to talk about that in a moment. Thank you, honey. Really appreciate that. Amen? Amen? We have to esteem Christ higher. So as far as us in our call, and how we go about having corporate gatherings where the goal is connecting people with the presence and power of God. The first thing I want to point you to is here in John chapter 16, verse 8, in what we call hosting the presence. Hosting the presence. John 16, 8 says, this is kind of funny, hosting the presence with my hot sauce bottle. That's something about that, the secret sauce. I don't know. Everything I love, God and hot sauce. This is perfect. My wife was holding it, we'd be good to go, right? John 16, starting in verse 8, it says, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I want you to hear this. God wants to bless you abundantly, right? He absolutely, I have no doubt in my mind, wants to bless you. It's not wrong to ask God for stuff, because it's crazy to think that your parents who have stuff would not want to help out. Right? It's crazy for one of my kids to need to get somewhere knowing I own a car and not asking me to drive them. Right. Oh, I don't want to just be a burden. I don't want to just ask for your hand. Well, no, that's my role.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you tell God, okay, no more air for me, God. I know the sun is rising on everyone else, but none for me, please. I just want your face, not your hand. You know today, God? It says that everything good comes down from you, a perfect father. So I want no one to be nice to me today, because that's just you if they're nice to me. I just want mean people today, God, because I only want your face, not your... That's stupid, right? But we set these limits. No, I can't ask God for... No, you can, right? Because he's a good father. However, though we completely agree God wants to bless your life front and back, side to side, all over, right? He just wants to bless you. Top to bottom, wants to bless you, right? However, there's something beyond that that says, God, I just want you. I just want you present, right? And so in this corporate hosting the presence here, in this service, though it's proper to ask God for stuff, there is a place where we say, I just want you here. Even if you don't do anything, I want to be around you. I want to spend time with you. I just want to be in your presence. I want to be in the room when you're doing something. I want to see some. I just want to be here where you are. And in this church, we want to host the presence of God. We want to create spaces that we just say, God, it's yours. You just get to come and be here. And we just get to sit at your feet. We get to put our head upon your chest like John did. We just want to be, we want to smell your fragrance. I want to hear how you talk to people. I want to see you moving in the room. I want to see how you just change the atmosphere. The hope that you come with, I just want to be around you, God. I want to be around you. I just want to be in a room where you're there. I just want to host the presence. I want to value you, and I want to make a place where you're comfortable to come, where you feel important. This is the number one goal of our house. We want to host the presence of God. We want to host him. We just want him to come and feel at home. We want to be a people. We want to be a people. A people who carry his presence with us. Like, I love evangelism. Don't get me wrong. I love evangelism. However, I just want to be at a place at times. I just want to be at a place where he's just there. Are you with me? You ever meet people and they go to church and you're like, oh, I remember my wife, she ran into an old friend from high school, and she's like, oh, I go to, oh, you're saved. And starts talking about the Supreme Court. Really? Like, I love Jesus. I love his presence. I love him being around. I want him in my life. I want every area of darkness to be gone because he's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we want to host his presence well. This Friday night, we're starting our Friday night intercession in 2 weeks. We call it intercession. We haven't come up with a good name yet. We're not real good marketers. But on Friday night, we host the presence. That's what we do. We just get together with the sole purpose of God come and be with us. Yeah. This Friday night, we're having a kind of an organizational meeting. And this is how much we believe in prayer. We're going to begin praying this Friday night about our Friday night prayer meetings. Yeah. And if you feel called to this at all, this hosting the presence, if this gets you excited, this intercession, this meeting with God and seeing what it, just creating a place in Boca Raton where he can just have his way, come this Friday night. It's at 7:30, and we're going to begin looking for how you can get plugged in and serve. Amen? Because it's important. It's important. It's important. Demons can memorize the Bible. They don't know the love of God. We need both. You gotta read your Bible through him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we want to be a people of the presence of God. We want to be a people who just says, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're God on earth. You're God on earth. You have to be important. We have to make room for you. We have to make room for you. We that has to look like something in our lives. That has to look like something more than rules. It's got to look like something more than I just know I got church clothes now. It's got to look more than I got a Jesus Fish bumper sticker. You know, it's got to look more. If you're a speeder, take the Jesus Fish off your car. Would you please just, you're not helping. Just take it off, right? It'd be better if you stopped speeding, but let's just be honest. Just take it off. Right? And when someone starts marketing to you and you don't want to buy anything, don't yell God bless you at them, right? That's not helping. No, thank you. God bless you, though. No, don't do that. That's not helping, right? That's churchianity. Let's just love God, right? Let's just love God. Create a place for him in our lives. God, you're welcomed here. Like, just you. You're welcome here. We want to be around you, God. We want you here. And so we need to learn as a corporate people how to host the presence, how to follow him. And what we found is we don't have to throw a church service out the window because he shows up. Because we have found that he can help us plan a church service. we don't say, you know, I had a message, but, you know, God showed up, so I didn't preach. Well, why don't you find out if he's going to show up ahead of time and find out what he'd want to hear you preach? Why doesn't he ever want to hear you preach when he shows up? Get back to the drawing board, right? Like, come on, find something that he wants to hear you preach, right? So we want to have an anointed service, but we want him here. It's not an either or. Right? You could serve bread and wine at the same time. Yeah. Just because God is serving the wine, the new wine, doesn't mean we have to stop serving bread. Yeah. Right? I like it together. Right? And we don't serve the bread and say we can't have any wine. Holy Spirit, you have to stop because we're going to get in the Word. I'd like them both. Amen. Or you choke on the Word. Amen?
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. Number two. Second thing that we feel, how we walk this out, this call to connect people to the presence and power of God, is we connect people corporately to God. As a people, we connect corporately to God. We host the presence, but the next thing we do is we corporately connect to God. John 21, verse 25 says this. He says, there's many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. All right, I want you to hear what I'm about to say, right? I need you to hear what I'm about to say here. Jesus, John said that Jesus did so many things that we couldn't write them all, right? But what did Jesus say in John 16 that we just read? Let's go back there, John 16, 12. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them. That was 2,000 years ago, right? You can't bear them now. But, verse 13, but when he, who's he talking about here? When he comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will. What's the word? We're floating here. Verse 13. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Listen, Jesus spoke. Some of what he spoke was written in the Bible. John said, there's lots of other things he spoke. We didn't write it down. Jesus said, I have even more than what I've spoken to tell you. But I can't say it yet. But when are you going to say it, Jesus? I'm going to send Holy Spirit, and then I will continue to speak through my Spirit. He's not done talking. Okay, let me. In the beginning, God spoke. Jesus walked the earth and spoke. Holy Spirit is still speaking today. Amen. Same God. He never stopped talking.
Amen.
In the corporate anointing, when a group of people come together in one place, in one accord, amazing things happen.
Yeah.
In the corporate anointing, there's healing. There's deliverance. God does miracles. Just when we get together in worship, when people come and we're singing with one heart and one accord, and the Spirit of God comes in the room, and the glory of God comes with the angels and the presence of Jesus, anything can happen. You could get your breakthrough right there. You could get that miracle impartation right there. You could get activated in gifts right there. Because God, the presence of God is right there in the room. All you have to do is reach out and touch it. It's here. That's a corporate anointing. That's not a group of individuals who happen to be in the same room. That's a people. That's a people together worshiping God. It's a people together worshiping God. I know a lot of anointed people, there aren't a lot of anointed groups. And this is why God sets leaders in churches. That's why God sets leaders in churches. We need to be shepherded together. Let me give you an example, and I'm going to talk more about this in another week. How many people in here have a home? Somewhere where you live. Right? We probably have many homeowners in here as well, right? Bless you. If you're not a homeowner, we're praying that you would buy a house. I own a home, right? Let's say I have you over my home, right? That'd be great. I'd like to have you. Well, I'd say I have you over my home, and or you invite me over your home. Whatever happens. So let's say you're over my home and you, or I'm at yours and you invite me over for dinner and I walk in and I start rearranging the living room. And you're like, what's going on here? No, it's okay. I'm a homeowner. I'm a homeowner. I've been owning homes for a long time. This is, you know, I have authority in my home to do this, so I can probably do it here too. Please go away, right? Like, please go away. You have authority in a home, but not this home.
That's right.
Oh, excuse me. It's like we have a thing. Like, we don't, my wife and I, this might sound strange to you. We don't let people in our bedroom. It's my bedroom. I don't just, hey, go on in my bedroom. Like, no, no. Can I use the restroom? Yeah, there's one down the hall. There's somebody in it. Well, they'll leave eventually. Is there one in your room? Yep. Appreciate you asking, but that one will be free soon. Why? Because in my life, some things are, you know, I don't give authority. I don't just let the whole world into it.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you can come in my living room. You can't rearrange the furniture, and you have to compliment my wife's cooking, right? Like, there's just things. Right? But it's amazing when you lead a church, people show up like, no, I have authority in my home, so I'll just come here and do whatever I want. Yeah. No. No, that's weird. That's you have a different vision than we have. And more than one vision, as we've learned, is division. And we just don't empower division at Revival Life Church. Well, I think the pastor should do this. I think you should shut your mouth, because your gossiping about the pastor probably isn't going to help any of us. Well, if I were the pastor, well, that's probably why you're not, right? Like,
amen.
Well, when do we get to vote, pastor? You can vote every week by coming. Appreciate your vote. Thank you very much. Right? Now listen, this is important. This is important to hear. Like, everybody is called to ministry. Everybody's called to be a believer in ministry. Everybody is called to minister. Not everybody's called to the same ministry. Now, if you've ever raised kids and people try to step in the midst of you correcting your kids, you understand what I'm talking about. Has that ever happened to you? Don't you want to wakaya? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? You want to come off the third rope with an elbow drop on them, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we made kids together. Please go away. Right? We don't all have the ministry in the same area with the same authority. This just makes sense. Like, I don't get to administrate your checkbook. Oh, we all just go, oh, really? We haven't? Oh, then can you hand me your checkbook, please? I'd like to exercise some authority over that. No. Pastor, you should go correct that person. Really? Can I correct you first? No. Well, then just keep your mouth shut. You know, let's just love each other, right? Like, this is not complicated to me. This is not complicated to me. And so as a church to host the presence, we need leadership. and we need people that we trust ministering, and we need corporately to have a singular vision to hear what God is speaking over us as a people, right? There's many people who speak into Revival Life Church, both internally and externally, and we get a lot of words from God here, and they line up normally, and those that don't, we kind of reject because we hear what he's speaking to us because there's a corporate anointing. I heard an amazing testimony this week. I was meeting with a couple who were in who are going to be life group leaders, and I said, I just want you to really think about what happened in different life groups, what went well, what didn't go as well, and I'm going to use names here. They said when we were in the Reynoso life group, we just had this incredible miracle financial blessing happening in our life the entire semester we were in there. He's like, we're just in there, and the whole time we were there, there was just miracle money would show up in our life that entire semester. I was like, because there's an anointing that was on that life group, and everybody who was a part of it was getting these financial blessings. We would get the life group reports; they would just be rolling in. And the Reynosos are like, what about us? But that's how it be sometimes. That's how it be. Sometimes it's got to go. It's got to flow through you before it flows to you. That's just how. But it's a promise, so that's how it works out. Right? When you line up with some people in leadership, you start getting what's in their lives. That's just how it works. If nobody's in leadership, then you get nada. Number three, last thing I want to tell you about here. We talked about hosting the presence. We talked about a people corporately connected to God, and this hosting the presence and power of God. The third thing I want to kind of talk about is connecting people personally to God. Connecting people personally to God. We have found like there's a lot of ministry models that we like. There's a lot of really anointed men of God today. There's a lot of really really generous ministries who teach their ministry models. We have found the most anointed minister is Jesus Christ. We have just found that he is anointed and he will pastor his people. That Jesus, he will minister by his Spirit. And we have found if we can learn to get out of the way and point people and connect people to him, their lives get better. There is no mediator between God and man. We had a season, we're just kind of talking to family here at the end of summer. You know, normally it's lighter attendance at the end of summer, so I can maybe talk about some things. We went through a season of battling false prophets in this church. And can I talk about that, Sarah? Is that all right? there were just some people that we loved dearly, just got connected to a false prophet. And it just began to flow through their lives. And through that, all kinds of really bad doctrine started coming through. And I'm not scared of bad doctrine. I do absolutely hate manipulation. I'll lose my sanctification over some manipulation right there. And so they started coming up with doctrines like, I'm the voice of God in your life. If you reject me, you're rejecting the grace for your life. Like, no. And there was a ministry model, there was a prophetic ministry model that came out of the 80s as we were learning in the 90s. We were learning prophetic ministry where the role of the prophet in your life looked way more like the old covenant than the new. And where this prophetic person had a role of authority to speak into your life. And what's funny is, the prophet got assigned that by themselves. It's amazing what happens when people assign themselves to be your boss. That's amazing, right? And when you try to cut off that flow of authority, they don't get as happy, right? Reject that, right? Like that's. And so here's how you'll kind of know what I'm not talking about. They start coming up with rules and systems and laws and steps that you have to go through to get this from God. You have to do this to get this from God. Let me give you an example. I absolutely believe that if you tithe, God is going to bless your life. I believe it's better to have 90% blessed than 100% good luck. I absolutely believe it. Absolutely believe it. Travis talked today during the offering about how God's going to bless you either way. But there is an anointing and a blessing and an inheritance on tithing. I absolutely believe it. Do you have to tithe to get to heaven? I think the blood covers everything. Faith in Christ, right? Should you tithe? Yes. right? So I believe that God puts authorities in lives. I absolutely believe it. But but people want rules because it makes us feel safe. But Christianity isn't safe. Christianity in this generation somehow became a way to unrighteous gain, like Paul talked about in his letter to the Corinthians. And he talked about how now people are getting rich off the gospel. And he's like, me over here, you know, I'm not as great as these great apostles getting rich. I'm just over here, you know, suffering and writing the New Testament. Establishing the church in Asia, right? That's all I'm doing. I just grabbed, you know, the Holy Ghost and just started the church in Asia Minor, right? But I'm not like these super apostles getting rich, right? And so, connecting you to the presence and power of God individually says that we trust Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. We actually believe that you don't need a mediator. Do you need fathers? Absolutely. Everybody needs a spiritual father. But the spiritual father model is not based on a child and a parent. Spiritual father model is based on an adult parent to an adult child. That is a spiritual father model that we believe in. We believe that, now I don't have a natural father. My wife doesn't have a natural father. No, we weren't born in a test tube. Our fathers have passed. But I don't have a natural father, never had one as an adult. Didn't have one as a child. Just haven't had a father. I'm not looking for any man to come run my life. I am looking for people who are committed to me and I can trust to tell me truth, right? I'm not looking for anybody's life to run but my own. I have a hard enough time managing my family. I'm not trying to manage yours, right? Don't call me if you should wear a blue or a gray shirt. Pastor, should I take this class or that class? Pastor, should I, you know, I'm here to help with wisdom. I am not here to run your life. I tell people all the time, my number one advice I tell people when they ask me these kind of questions is what? Pray in tongues. What should I do here? Pray in tongues. Holy Spirit will guide you. Right? When you're an adult and you have an adult child, that child gets to choose whether or not they listen to you. You should live your life in a way they want to. Are you with me? That is not a cultic model of leadership. Cultic model is if you don't listen to me, you're cursed. Are you following me here? Travis, close the door. Thank you. Hallelujah. Kids are having a good time back there drumming and doing stuff. I wish I was a child in Revival Kids Jr. They have a good time back there. Let me say it this way. I'm coming to an end here. Corey, you can come up and pluck a little bit for me, please. Listen, this is really important, and I want you to get this. There's no mediator between God and man other than Jesus Christ, right? False prophets come and set up rules. False fathers set up rules. False teachers set up rules, right? To make it safe. It's not safe. We can all get it wrong. We can all be martyred. God may have you love somebody who won't love you back. We see that in the Bible. That's what happened to Jesus, right? And he did everything perfectly. Are you with me here? And so out of a need for security, we want rules. There aren't any rules, right? There aren't rules. Jesus laid some out, love God, love people. You know, what's that love look like? Live that way. And so since people want rules, they start, you know, well, there's a lot of good rules in the early part of the Bible. Let's start living some of those and then we'll have a more anointed life. No, it's just not true, right? That's a false sense of security. You know, And in the scriptures, they talk about this. They say, you know, you got these people coming in, and they sound so spiritual, and they talk about the angels they see, and they talk about the new moon, and they talk about the festivals, and they keep these feasts, right? In Colossians, he talks about this. And in Colossians 2:23, Paul finally says this, there's matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion, in self-abasement, in severe treatment of the body, watch this, but are no value against fleshly indulgence. We can set all the rules we want for people who come to this church. We could do all kind of rules, but it's not going to get you closer to God. It's going to make us feel more comfortable. And the point of the church is not us being more comfortable. It's about connecting people to the presence and power of God. That's what it's about. It's not about you looking cute. It's not about you looking Christian. can't tell you how many times I've gotten feedback about the greeters. Oh, they... Okay, if we have people serving, and that's not good enough for some people. Right? Like, when people show up 15 minutes before the church service and are greeted by somebody who's been here for an hour and 45 minutes and then want to complain about what they were wearing, that's going to fall on deaf ears. That's going to fall on deaf ears. Does this make sense? We want to connect you to the presence and power of God. And this is what it looks like as far as rules and behavior goes. And Acts 24, he says this: "In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and men." You only get a blameless conscience when you stay connected to Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. That's it. You read the Bible. You have relationships with people. You're part of a body. You have a pastor. You have leaders in your life. You're not so deceived that you think you're at a place where you don't need to be taught anymore. Not so deceived that you think you got it worked out and you don't, you know. Oh, but I went to this school. Yeah. Wow. Look at you. We live at a place where we want a clear conscience. Heard a guy recently say, he said, don't do anything during the day that'll keep you up at night. Don't do anything in the day that'll keep you up at night. I want to live with a clear conscience. Yeah, we want to get rid of condemnation. Yeah, I get that. But I want to live with a clear conscience. I want to listen to Holy Spirit. And I want to live in obedience to Him. And I want you to do the same. I want you to be connected to the presence and power of God. Amen? Stand with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, wow, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Just turn your affections to God right now. Let me have the band come up. Turn your affections to God right now. I want you just to turn your heart to Jesus right now. We're going to be done in about 5 minutes. Close your eyes with me if you feel comfortable doing that. You don't have to. Close your eyes with me. And I want you to begin. I just see God reaching out to so many people right now. And in this church, we're not perfect. But we're trying to. We're trying to be perfect. We're trying to love. We're trying to welcome people. Trying to make a safe place for people to experience God. And I hope you can see that He's here. And He's actively moving in this house. And I just feel like He wants to display His love to some people right now by His Holy Spirit. And if you'll give me 4 more minutes, we're going to sing. We're just going to welcome Him here one more time.
Oh, light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.